Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34. After the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblastinggame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget, you can subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. You can listen to archives, thousands of those. You can read hundreds and hundreds of articles that our Brain Trust members have written and lots of good stuff there. Hope you'll check it out soon. Matt Cartwright is our guest. Matthew is an attorney. We love him anyway. He's with Munley and Cartwright out of Pennsylvania, and he's our good friend. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim, and we like talk show hosts, too, no matter what everybody says.
I'm a talk show host, but you love me anyway, huh?
That's it. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back.
Nice to be back.
A little bit of tort reform news going on since the last time you were here.
A little bit. They did some tinkering with the class action fairness bill.
You want to talk about that a minute?
There's not much new there. They really just did a little bit of tinkering, and I'm the editor of Business Torch Journal, and we looked at it and we decided that, you know, there isn't a whole lot to talk about there.
Well, they made class actions. Didn't they make class actions go from civil courts to federal courts?
From county courts to federal courts
is what I meant to say.
Right, in a lot of cases. And, you know, that's not a bad thing.
Okay, I'm glad to hear you say that. I thought it was a good thing, too. It's going to prevent jury shopping, isn't it?
A little bit.
But it won't completely?
In the smaller cases, you know, it's all based on size. And I forget what it is. I want to say it's 5 million and above cases will go to federal court.
Right.
The lawyers I've talked to aren't—they're not all too concerned about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I want to talk about jury trials. I represent a lot of small businesses, Jim, and everybody that comes into my office with a small business dispute, they universally think that jury trials in civil cases are the worst thing. That's what's one of the biggest threats to their business in America is the civil jury trial. And I want to tell you, it's the opposite. It's not one of the biggest threats. It's one of the biggest protections for small business in this country, the right to jury trial.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, no, I don't disagree with you. I think the thing, not to parse words with you, but I think the thing that's the biggest danger to a small business is not a jury trial when a jury trial is warranted. It's the frivolous lawsuits. That's the threat. It's not the jury trials. It's the frivolous lawsuit.
Well, I think that's a great way to kind of jump off. The frivolous. What's the poster child for the frivolous lawsuit in this country, Jim?
Personal injury?
It's right. It's the lady that spilled coffee on herself. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Every time I pick a jury, I bring that up, and everybody wants to talk about it. You remember that lady? How much did she win, Jim? Do you remember?
It was a lot of money.
Everybody I talk to says, oh, she won about $9 or $10 million.
No, she didn't get that much.
She got $200,000 for her injury. She had third-degree burns in the worst parts of her body. She had to have skin grafting. They proved that there were 700 complaints of way too hot coffee. We're talking about 180, 190-degree coffee.
Right.
What you drink at home is 135, 140 degrees. And they proved that McDonald's knew that this was going to hurt people and was going to give them third-degree burns, but they said, you know, we're going to sell more coffee anyway because it improves the taste a little bit, so we're going to keep doing that. The jury was incensed by that. They awarded $200,000 for the burns, which, Jim, if you're talking about personal injuries, those are the worst. Third-degree burns, the pain involved in that, and we're talking about injuries on her genitals. 72-year-old lady, God love her. And then they awarded punitive damages. And punitive damages is the boogeyman of the small business, and it shouldn't be. The punitive damages they awarded was about $2.7 million, and that represented 2 days' worth of profit on McDonald's coffee in the country. The small businessman should take comfort about punitive damages because it's always gauged on the size of the defendant. So if you're a small business defendant, they're never going to award $2.7 million against you in punitive damages. What's two days' worth of profit in your business? It's a lot different from what McDonald's makes on its coffee.
Well, and some small businesses right now are listening to you, Matthew, and they're saying, okay, if we calculated it that way, that means the plaintiff would have to pay me money because I'm not making a profit this year. Stand by, Matthew. When we come back, I'm going to ask Matthew how much the plaintiffs have responsibility for their own actions, and when does that enter into these trials, into these jury trials? Right after these messages, 20 after. Don't forget, don't worry, small business owners, I got your back. Back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Matthew Cartwright. He's with Munley and Cartwright out of the great state of Pennsylvania. Matthew, give us your website, please.
Oh, sure. It's Munley.com, M-U-N-L-E-Y.com.
All right. Check it out, folks. If you'd like to go see what a attorney's website looks like, there it is. Matthew, we're talking about the issue of whether a jury trial system is good for small businesses, and I agree with you. I know plenty of small. In fact, I sued somebody one time. It wasn't a jury trial; it was a judge trial. The judge didn't do a good job. Both sides agreed that he didn't really do a very good job. But I do agree that's one of the bedrocks of our society is our legal system and the jury trial. There's no question about that. But so nobody, I don't think any small business owner disagrees with you about that. I think the problem that we have are frivolous lawsuits where the person it just seems like it's gotten out of hand, Matthew, in the last few years, where people seem to be, they feigning injury or they don't take. There's no responsibility that's placed on the plaintiff at all. If somebody does something incredibly stupid, and it had to do with something that we sold, you know, we get all the blame. That nobody holds the person responsible for it. I mean, those are the kinds of things that wake us up at night.
Yeah, and they should. I mean, you worry about things like that, but you know, I don't agree. I think that there's a lot of spillover. There's a lot of feeling that the whole situation is out of control. It's frivolous lawsuits and out of control juries, runaway juries. I mean, and people do bring up that McDonald's case, but I think that's a good case in point because remember I told you they awarded that lady $200,000 for her awful burns. The jury, you know, that out of control crazy California jury, they reduced that award themselves to reflect 20% fault on the part of the plaintiff, Mrs. Liebeck.
Right.
They reduced that 20% so that they themselves cut her award from $200,000 down to $160,000 to reflect that it was partially her fault for spilling the coffee. A lot of people think, she was driving at the time.
Well, I'm glad you told us that, Matt, because most of us don't know that, and I'm glad you told us that. I didn't say the whole system was out of control because I don't think that it is.
I'm not saying you do, but a lot of other people do. You talk about frivolous lawsuits. I want to say this. A lot of those frivolous lawsuits come from businesses, believe it or not. Did you know that, for example, in 1998, Kellogg's sued Exxon over Tony the Tiger, claiming that Exxon's tiger would confuse people. I don't know whether Exxon was going to try to go into the business of selling cornflakes or whatever Tony the Tiger sells.
It's Frosted Flakes, man. What's the matter with you?
Jim, the federal court threw the case out of court, and then Kellogg's appealed that to the Sixth Circuit United States Court of Appeals. Talk about clogging up the system with frivolous nonsense. Businesses do it, too. But
well,
no,
that's brand protection, and I suspect that Kellogg's didn't think they were going to get very far, but what they did was they let up a lot of people know. They spent a little money to let a lot of people know that they feel very proprietary about their Tiger.
Well, that's probably true, but I'm so glad that you mentioned the fact that you had an experience with the judge that both sides thought didn't do a good job. My point today is juries do a good job. They really care about what goes on.
I've been on a jury twice before, and I really felt like we were educated. I felt like we got into the issue, and I felt like we made a good award.
Sure, and if you look at the alternatives to jury trials, it's bench trials. It's one judge. It's the situation that you had, and you always have to worry. Does the judge know your opponent? Does the judge know your opponent's lawyer?
Right.
What's your option? You can move to have the judge recuse himself or herself, and guess who rules on that motion?
Mm-hmm.
The judge himself or
mm-hmm.
herself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're picking a jury, and I spent a lot of time working on picking juries, if you identify somebody on the jury that knows your opponent or is friendly to your opponent somehow, you get to move to strike that juror. And that juror himself or herself doesn't rule on that motion. The judge does.
Right. Well, I agree with you as far as jury trial versus a judge doing it all by themselves, because in this particular case, I just think the judge wasn't very smart. But can we move over and talk a little bit about mediation and arbitration?
Sure.
As an alternative, I don't want to get away from trials, but I mean as an alternative, what do you advise your folks when they're doing contracts? Are you completely opposed to putting mediation in contracts?
Well, mediation is different from arbitration.
Right.
Mediation is just sitting down and seeing if we can all work it out, and I'm totally in favor of that. I think that ought to be in all contracts. That mandatory mediation ought to take place. But arbitration I'm against, because what does that do? That takes us away from the jury trial.
Right.
And instead of a jury or even a judge, you have an arbitrator, or in some cases a panel of arbitrators. And then there again, you're back to the situation. Does this panel know my opponent, my opponent's lawyer, all of that?
Mm-hmm.
I would personally, and this is just a preference, I would preserve my right to jury trial and keep arbitration clauses out of contracts.
So you recommend that we put mediation clauses in contracts, but not arbitration in contracts?
I sure do, Jim.
I see. Good. Well done, Matt. Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Lindsey Buckingham to take us out.
Oh, how build you a kingdom in that house on the hill.
Back, it's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's the Platters. I think that's Tony Williams singing that one. Matthew Cartwright is our guest. He's a great attorney. I'm not sure what kind of singer he is, but he's a great attorney with Monday and Cartwright Attorneys at Law in Scranton, Pennsylvania, is where your headquarters is, isn't it?
Scranton and Wilkes-Barre, and I'm not giving up the day job to sing at nightclub.
By the way, Matthew, today is our second anniversary of you being on the show. Happy anniversary.
And the same to you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you for giving us a couple of good years, and I hope you'll give us a few more, maybe a lot more. Matt, one of my favorite stories to tell about where juries really just lost it and messed up, and the kind of stories that really give me nightmares sometimes, in a way, is the one where an insurance, and I may have told this story before. If I have, forgive me, but it's a good story. Insurance agent takes money from a couple to invest in, to put into mutual funds, I guess. And he was helping them with some of their investments. I guess he was a Series 6 or something. And he took $170,000 from them. And the company found out that the guy embezzled the money. He took the money. He didn't put it in the company where he was supposed to. They found out about it first. They put the money back. They gave the couple all the return that they would have gotten. They calculated all that, put it all back with interest. And then they told the couple, look, this guy made a mistake. He, you know, we're prosecuting him. We're going to send him to jail. He shouldn't have done this. But we have made you whole plus. We're so sorry this happened, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The couple still sued the insurance company and went to a jury trial, and they won.
How about that?
Now, that's the kind of thing
that makes headlines, and, you know, you always read about the man bites dog,
yeah,
the headline. And I guess the hard part about talking about trials that we didn't all watch is that we miss the details, and, you know, you hear it second and third hand, and you don't know about all of the things that the jury heard, so it's an awful easy thing to do, to go back and second-guess a jury without knowing all the information. I mean, look at this McDonald's case. Everybody assumes the worst about this crazy jury, and then slowly the facts trickle out. My favorite expression is, truth is the daughter of time.
Right.
And the truth comes out, and then people finally settle down. They say, well, I guess they did something sensible in that case after all.
Right. Let's move over and talk about, I don't think you don't do a lot of criminal work, do you?
None.
What do you think about the cases like the Jackson case and some of these others being completely played out in the media? What do you think about all that?
Some days I really think California should secede from the union. But seriously, it is crazy. I practice law in a state where, in Pennsylvania and New York and two states where they don't allow cameras in the courtroom and they don't allow a media circus. And I think justice is more important than putting it on Hollywood Tonight
right
after the news. And I kind of wish they wouldn't do that.
They're actually doing role plays of the Jackson case now on one of the channels.
Isn't that crazy? I saw it on the E! Network, I think it is.
I think that's right.
Unbelievable. My reaction is the same as yours. I can't believe this kind of thing is going on, and I think it makes a mockery of our judicial system.
Well, I think you're right. It dilutes any kind of reverence that we ought to have for something that should be revered. And regardless, I think the point that you're making, the fundamental point you're making, Matthew, is one I completely agree with you about, and that is that you can never minimize the importance of our legal system, the way our legal system works, as flawed as it may be, to our basic rights and freedoms as Americans.
This is something that was developed under Henry II in 12th century
way
England.
Back. Absolutely.
Thomas Jefferson said, I consider trial by jury to be the only anchor yet devised by man capable of holding government to the principles of its Constitution. This is a sacred, hallowed process that we have in this country, and I do hate to see minimized and made mockery of and on TV like that.
Prior to Henry II, we had enlightened legal issues such as trial by fire.
Trial by fire,
yeah.
Trial by battle, trial
right
by ordeal. Let's throw you in the river and see if you have to pay.
Trial by ordeal, exactly. Hey, Matthew, thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Good job today, and we'll see you next time. Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen, our resident attorney. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.